We're in the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 5, and we got all the way through verse 15. You remember Jesus healed a man there at the Pool of Bethesda. Remember, Bethesda means house of mercy. Jesus healed that man. He hadn't walked in 38 years, and he stood up. Jesus said, "Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to walk?" The man said, "I'm helpless. I can't do it by myself, and I have no one to help me. I'm helpless." And Jesus said, "Get up. Pick your bed up and walk. Go on." And he did. But remember, it was the Sabbath. And you know there's a lot of religious people going around. You know that. And he healed on the Sabbath. And it made the Jews mad. Who? The leadership. The Jewish leaders. The Bible scholars. The ones who really know. They were angry. That's what verse 16 says. "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus." Therefore. When you see therefore, look and see what it's there for. Good. That means therefore, okay, because of what we just read. Because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, the Jews got angry with him. They began to persecute him. And they sought to kill him, to slay him, verse 16 says. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. People don't really care much about people. Now, you don't have to be told that. You know it. You've been around. Anybody that's over 6 months old, you've figured it out already. People don't really like people. I mean, they sort of use people now. And it gets worse as time goes on. But that's what people do with one another. They didn't care that this man had not been able to walk in 38 years. They cared what day it was. That's what religion will do for you too. And for me. And anybody who wants to become religious. You become religious, you don't love anymore. There's no compassion. You don't really care. Just keep this rule. But what if we stop? Who cares? Hey man, I'd love to stop and help you, but I'm going to be late for church if I do that. I can't stop and help you. Be warmed and filled, dude. I added the dude part. Jesus healed a man that hadn't walked in 38 years. That's a miracle. Nobody cares. Because you did it on the Sabbath. We want to kill you now. Bummer. Jesus answered. And he answered them and he said, because they wanted to kill him because he did this on the Sabbath day, "My Father worketh hitherto and I work." I like the King James language, don't you? "My Father worketh hitherto and I work." I think we should speak that way more often. I had a friend who was really into his Bible, and when it was time to eat, he would look at me and say, "Must needs be we go to lunch." I liked it. I said, "Right on." Jesus just said this, "My Father works," in the present tense, I'll say it in American, "My Father is working continuously, and so I work." It doesn't matter what day it is. See, Christians, a lot of Christians don't believe that. Now, I'm talking not about non-Christians don't believe in God. I mean, who cares? So there's God, great, that's nice, what's for lunch? But you see, Christians, we're supposed to believe in God, want to serve Him, want to follow Him. And Christians say, you say, "What is God doing right now? Just tell me what God is doing." They say, "He's got a brandy. He's sitting on the throne, got his feet up, got a big cigar. And he said, 'Took me 6 days to make this thing. You guys messed it up. Just go for it. Fix it.'" I'm paraphrasing because what the Bible says is, "And on the seventh day, he rested." And so all of us think that's what he's doing. Yeah, what's God doing? Nothing, man. He's sitting on the throne doing nothing. Why don't he get up and get moving? Look at the mess we got down here. That's what people think God is doing. Nothing. What did Jesus just tell you? God continues. He didn't just stop way back there after he created things, sat down and said, "Whew, man, I'm tired now." You know, a lot of you think God is really old, real thin. He's leaning over the banister of heaven, pointing really mad. "I'm going to kick you people for this." And you think, don't lean too far, old man. You'll fall. And then what will we do? And that's the picture some Christians have of God. He's doing nothing and he's mad. Jesus says, my Father continuously works. Bible says God holds the entire universe together. Scientists don't know what holds it together, and so they call it nuclear glue. That's so cool. Scientists say, we don't know what it is. The name we give it is nuclear glue. It's really what's holding everything together. Nuts. God, the Bible says, holds the entire universe together. If he let it go, cancel Christmas. It's over. God holds it together. He gives you a driver's license. And lets you, strap me into this bullet and shoot me to Spokane. You think he's not doing anything? I've had three angels resign on me in the last week and a half. Oh yeah, they're busy. God's busy. My Father works. Hitherto, I work. God, the language says continually and present tense. Now, always. God's busy. You know, if it weren't for God, you couldn't have come to church today. If it weren't for God, you wouldn't get around. If it weren't for God, you wouldn't be in this free land. God works, and so Jesus says, I work. Now, what's the response? Verse 18, therefore. And when you see therefore, look and see what it's therefore. Because of what Jesus said just then, they sought the more to kill him. How much more can you kill him? We're going to kill you. Yeah, well, my Father works, other two and I work. Okay, we're going to kill you more now. Now we're mad. You ever notice how your temper makes you look like a fool? That's a whole study that I do in the book of Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? And how Nebuchadnezzar got so mad he heated the furnace seven times hotter than usual. They get mad, so they want to more kill him. I played football in high school and we lost. One time we were on a practice field and the girls' tennis team was out there and they beat us. I don't know what happened. It's just something we were able to do, okay? Other teams could have won that. Not us. Shouldn't brag. But there was a guy in our team who hated losing. Wasn't me. I got used to it. I sort of liked it. But he hated it. He'd go into the locker room, take his helmet off, and hit his head against the locker. So, man, wouldn't you think you'd leave your helmet on for something like that? But see, that's what your temper does to you. It makes a fool out of us. We punch the locker. Guys that play football are cool because they hit each other because they're supposed to. Then they get mad at each other. And what's the first thing they take off if they're going to fight? You ever see them, pros? Take their helmet off. Leave that on, man. Just hit him. Hit him with your... Leave your head. You're protected. They're so mad, they want to kill Jesus even more. Our tempers make us so intelligent, don't they? Why? Verse 18 says, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. That would have been blasphemy. Jesus just said, my Father, not our Father, the Father of Israel, not your Father, in other words, the God of the universe, but my Father, making it singular, meaning mine, he is my Father. These are doctors of the law. These are scribes. These are Pharisees. These are Bible college graduates. Now, what do they, he just said, I am the Messiah. What do you mean? He just said it. Right there in the language. My Father. When Messiah comes, Isaiah tells us, chapter 9, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. No, the other way. Unto us a child. See, this is so hard. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. God's son. We're told in the book of Isaiah, he will be God the Son. He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And so all the Jews that studied their scriptures, all the Jews that studied their scriptures, they knew that when the Messiah comes, he will be God in human flesh. He will be the Son of God. Jesus just said, my Father works, hitherto I work. Now they don't want to kill him because of the Sabbath, but they really want to kill him because he just claimed to be equal with God. Did Jesus ever claim to be God? Right here, he did. In chapter 4, he did, when he was talking to the woman at the well. And she said, when Messiah comes, we all know Messiah will be God in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He will be called the Prince of Peace, the Almighty Father, or the Everlasting Father, the Counselor. Remember all those names? She said, when Messiah comes, he'll help us understand this. He'll teach us. What did he say? I am the Messiah. He just claimed to be deity, God in human flesh. That's what he just said here. He claimed to be God in human flesh right here. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And that made them boiling, man. They want to kill him because he claimed to be equal with God. Co-equal with God in every way. Think about that. Jesus Christ is God the Son, God in human flesh. Co-equal with God. One of the persons of the Godhead. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Jesus claimed to be deity. Claimed to be God. I've heard it taught that Jesus never, down here while he walked on this dirt, never claimed to be God. We've seen him claim it twice in just two chapters. We're foolish. And we pretend. The watchtower. And their translation of the scripture. They say Jesus never claimed to be God. Very clearly he claimed to be God. You couldn't fool these Jewish leaders, scriptural experts, Bible scholars. They were angry instantly. Why? Because he literally claimed to be God in human flesh. God the Son. That's why they wanted to kill him. They weren't just going to kill him now because of the Sabbath, but because he claimed to be equal with God. Hey, do you remember when Lucifer did that? Back in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer, the five I wills of Lucifer. One of them was, I will lift my throne above the stars. I will be equal with God. What did that get him? The left foot of fellowship booted out of heaven is what it got him. Didn't it? What got Eve in trouble? One of the lies he said to her was, you're not going to die if you eat that. Oh, man, that God, what a joker. I added that part. If you eat that, you'll be equal with him. You'll be just like God. And he doesn't want anybody to be just like him. What's the lie? You could be equal with God. She fell for it. Satan got thrown out, Lucifer got thrown out of heaven because of it. Now they're mad at Jesus because he just claimed equality with the living God. Amazing. Verse 19. He goes on. Jesus answered because they were upset because he made himself equal with God. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, truly, truly, or verily, verily, King James, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Truly, truly. Or in the King James language, Elizabethan English language, verily, verily. What does it mean? Literally, it means without any possibility of controversy. When he says truly, truly, without any possibility of any questioning or any arguing. In other words, what I'm going to say is without any possibility of controversy. This is good, solid fact. What is it? The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, what's the first law of wholes? You get yourself into a hole and you want to get out. What's the first law, the first major rule of being in a hole? Stop digging. Right? You want to get out of this hole? Stop digging and we'll figure a way out of this hole. That's the first law. If you ever get in a deep hole, stop digging. Jesus claimed to be deity, but wait. He digs himself deeper and he says, I only do what I see my Father do. Oh, man. Oh, Lord, we got one. You see him do this, do you? Yeah. Oh, man. And the people are thinking, we got to kill him. This guy is a blasphemer. What did he just say, everybody? The Son cannot act apart from the Father. I'll say it in King James. The Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, the Father does, these also the Son does in like manner, or likewise, or the same way. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, listen closely, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, none of them act apart from the other. Did you know that? Man, that is hard to get a grasp of, because we have never seen anything like it. We get married, me and my wife, do we act apart from one another? Whew, night and day. She's normal. Well, except she married me. I mean, other than that, what are you laughing at? Well, what are you guys laughing? My dad and me. Whew. He worked on cars his whole life. He was a motor pool sergeant forever. I can't even spell car. But Jesus says, what my Father does, that's what I do. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, they do not act apart from one another. You've got to get out of your mind the natural. None of us can quite comprehend three in one. It doesn't make sense to the way we see. You know, Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians, right in chapter 13, at the end of that chapter, Paul says, right now, I see through a glass dimly, not very clearly. It's like the glass is opaque. You're looking through at the things about God, and God starts teaching you about himself. And you look and you say, I can see some movement on the other side of the glass, but I can't really quite make it out. It's not sharp. It's not clear. I don't understand it, but I can see that there's something there. He says, right now, that's the way you and I see, even as Christians. But then we're going to see face to face. It's going to be clear. We won't understand it all. We'll learn throughout eternity. But at that time, when you get into the presence of God and you look at him, a lot of things are going to make sense that don't make sense now. And one of those things is God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that just doesn't, I've heard explanations, and I've told you different explanations, but they don't work. They break down. They're natural and they break down somewhere. But Jesus is helping us to understand. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. They are co-equal. They are co-eternal. They will not act without the full approval and the fellowship of the other. Whatever you see Jesus do as we're walking with him through this gospel, whatever he does, that's what God would do. That's what God does. What would God do if someone spit in his face? Watch, because in a few chapters we'll see. What would God do if someone hurt his feelings, or if he was left all alone to deal with things all by himself? What would God do? How would he handle it? What would he do? You're going to see that as you walk with him. And Jesus tells them, whatsoever things he does, these also doeth the Son likewise, or in the very same manner. Now look at verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does or doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel or be amazed. The Father loves the Son. It's a relationship of continuous love. Again, we think about it, but we have not really seen it here, have we? Unconditional, continuous love. The love that you and I know is natural. And it's based on all sorts of different things. But you remember when we were in first grade? You had a good friend and then he did something you didn't like or she did something. And you said, "You're not my best friend anymore." I got my first fight in kindergarten. And it went downhill from there. I don't remember the fight. But my mom says it was because my best friend kissed my girlfriend. She told me that at about 9 years old. I'm going, "Oh, gag. A girl? I fought over that? You're not my best friend anymore." That's the kind of love you're used to, isn't it? Husbands and wives, you're getting along if everything's going your way, but something happens you don't like, something happens that breaks your heart, something happens that gets out of control, and now it's conditional. "All right, I don't trust you anymore. I don't even know if I like you. I can't even remember your middle name, man. That's how bad it's getting. I promise to love, honor, and check." Well, not today. I mean, that was then, and this is now. Are you crazy? Yes. Because it's conditional. Did you read this? The Father loves the Son. It's unconditional, and it's continuous. The relationship is a solid love relationship continually. And because God does love the Son, because the Father loves the Son, He shows Him all things that He Himself does. And He will show Him greater works than these, that you may be amazed. I believe He's insinuating there about His death and resurrection on the cross. Death on the cross and then rising again on the third day. It's hard for our human minds to grasp. I went to school in military schools. Not military schools, but on military bases around the world. And I grew up, I thought it was a normal life. I've learned since then that it wasn't. Everybody didn't grow up that way. See, where I grew up, everybody lived together in these buildings and nobody thought much. I mean, if your dad was a certain level, well, then you lived in this area and all the houses were the same. So it wasn't like anybody was better than the other. And when you went out to play, the good thing was if you went out to play ball, you had about 100 or so kids, you know, for teams. When you played hide and go seek, it was a nightmare. I mean, you were out for 3 days. If you found a good hiding place, your parents could just write you off until school started, you know. But you see, there were black kids. We didn't call them that then. They were just the kids. There were black kids. There were white kids. There were some kids from the Orient. And so you'd see from the Philippines and from Korea. And you see, and I mean, there were all shapes and colors and sizes. And none of us ever gave it a thought. You thought that's the way the whole world was. And then I came back to the States, my dad got stationed in a different place and went to a school that wasn't on a military base, and it wasn't like that. Everything was conditional. You don't mess with those guys over there. They're black. I don't know what you call them anymore. They used to call them Mexican, and that was not right. Then they were Chicano, and then that's not right. What do you call them now? They were them. And then there was the red and the yellow and the green and the purple and blue. And I mean, and you had to stay in your group and it's conditional. If they're nice to you, be nice to them. If not, you know, spit at them or whatever. That's how we live. It's wrong. But the Father loves the Son. It's unconditional. I got some good news for you too. Father loves you. The Son loves you. Remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. God loves you. Why? I don't know. Just teasing. He loves me too. Why? No good reason. There's nothing in me that He would. He loved me before I got here. I thank Him because if He'd wait till I showed up, He might change His mind. He loved you. He still does. Father loves the Son. Now we go on. As the Father, verse 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickens or gives life to them, even so the Son quickens whom He will. Jesus gives life. You come to Jesus, you are given life, life eternal. He'll give you life freely. You don't have to pay. You don't have to clean up your act. You don't have to clean up your language. You don't have to give to the poor. You don't have to go be any day. You don't have to get a certain level of Bible understanding or an IQ or go to some kind of college. All you have to do is to say, I'm helpless. I need you. And he would say, I'm right here. That's all. Man, this is a good deal. Father raises up the dead and makes alive, or makes them alive. Even so, or in the same way the Son makes alive who He will. You know, you think about that. Jesus, we saw Him earlier. He healed a man that hadn't walked in 38 years. It really happened. He really did that. Now, that man took his bed, walked away, got in trouble because it was the Sabbath, and he was carrying his bed. They said, you got to put that down, man. It's the Sabbath. You can't do that. Well, the guy that healed me told me to. Who is he? We'll fix him. And that's how this whole mess began. Let me ask you a question. How many other people were there that were watching the water that didn't get healed that day? There were thousands that were there. Jesus healed the one, then wandered off. How many were there waiting for the water to move, and were still there and weren't healed? Thousands. What did Jesus say? I'll read it again. The Son quickens whom He will. Didn't He love those other people? You know He did. Still does. But what did that young man who couldn't walk for 38 years, what did he have to acknowledge? I'm helpless. I can't. Jesus said, do you want to walk? He said, I can't get in the water. I can't do it, and I have nobody to help me. And so, because I can't walk, someone gets in before me, and I never, remember, the first one in wins, and I can't get there. I'm helpless. You ever say that to the Lord God? Lord, I can't help myself. I'm helpless. What do you think Jesus would do? You come to me. Doesn't he say that in Matthew chapter 11? Near the end of the chapter? Come to me, every one of you that labors and is heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You come to me. Then he said, anybody that comes to me, I would never turn them away. If you would have come to Jesus to say this today, I don't know much about you, but I believe you can help. I am helpless. I have no one to help me. What do you think Jesus would say? You give me your hand. We'll walk together. Verse 22. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. All right. The Father judges no man. He's committed all judgment to the Son. That's you and me, everyone, believer or non-believer, whether you believe in God, whether you're a Christian, no matter what you call yourself, all of us, me and you, we will stand before Jesus Christ, who is the judge. The Father has given Him all the responsibility of judging the entire human family. And we'll all stand before the Lord to be judged. You say, but I'm a Christian. My sins are forgiven. They're gone. I know. Praise God. If you come to Jesus Christ, your sins are washed away, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And He shed His blood at the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine. And you come to Jesus and say, I just want out of this mess. I'm helpless. Take my life. And He takes you and you're instantly washed and clean. But you'll still stand before the judge. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. You say, but my sins are gone. What am I judged for? Your works. You're not being judged, those that are Christians. You're not judged. Your sin is gone. God says, I throw it over my shoulder, and I promise I will never turn around. God says, I throw it into the deepest ocean. Corrie ten Boom says, and then He puts up a no fishing sign. God says, I remove your sins as far from you as from the east is from the west. How far is that? If you walk east for eternity, you will still never be going west. You will never run into those sins. They're gone. Your sins are gone. If you're a Christian, you ought to be going, whew. Oh yeah, your friends are never going to let you forget it. Devil never let you forget it. They'll drag it up to you all the time. You know what you did? Don't you remember you doing this, man, 20 years ago? You are a loser. And I think sometimes, I'm going to stand before Jesus. Thank you, I'm not going to stand before anybody else. What if somebody I cheated 20 years ago says, you're standing before me? Ooh. I'm forgiven in Jesus Christ. But we'll stand before Him. So what are we judged for? If our sins are gone, what are we judged for? Our works. When you were born again, I don't know what day it was, or where, how long ago, but when you were born again, the foundation was laid. Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation that could be laid but Jesus Christ Himself, right? And you and I began to build on that foundation. Every day from that point on, I was born again in 1973. Every day, whether I knew it or not, even before I knew anything like that, I was already building. And there are materials that I've been using. Paul tells us we use, here are a few of the materials you use. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now the wood and hay and stubble, those burn, they're not going to last. Because we'll be tried as by fire and they'll burn up. What will remain is what's been done with gold and silver and the precious stones. So in my life, according to Scripture, when I get to heaven, I'm going to smell like smoke. Because a lot of my works probably have been wood, hay, and stubble. Not even realizing what a fool I was. Completely born again, but you stand before the judge. All those things that you've been building, according to our works, whether they're good or bad, some are going to last for eternity. Some are just going to burn up. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're still going to stand before the judge. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. This is for you non-Christians. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them, the earth and heaven. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You find that this great white throne judgment isn't a judgment as much as it is a sentencing. When you've been found guilty, you're not waiting to see if you're guilty anymore. You're waiting to see what the sentence is. Life in eternal suffering is what you'll see these people get. So every one of us will stand before the judgment seat. What does Jesus say? For the Father, verse 22, judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent Him. Okay, that's easy to understand. Honor the Father, and you honor the Son. Dishonor the Father, you dishonor the Son. Or turn it around. Honor the Son, you honor the Father. Dishonor the Son, and you dishonor the Father. I'm going to tell you right now, there are many people that call themselves Christians today who will tell you, I'm a Christian, and I worship God, but I do not believe Jesus Christ is His Son. What did they just tell you? Dishonor the Son, you dishonor the Father. You're not a Christian. A Christian is literally means one who is Christ-like or one who belongs to Christ and is like Him. You can't be a Christian and not belong to Jesus. You can be a Buddhist and have nothing to do with Buddha. I mean, that's a simple religion to understand. You can be a follower of Krishna and not even believe in Krishna or follow Him. But you can't be a Christian because it's not a religion. It's a personal relationship. You must know Jesus to call yourself a Christian. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. Honor the Son, honor the Father. Dishonor the Son, you dishonor the Father. He's telling these people some pretty heavy things. These are people that want to kill Him. Don't forget the scenario, what's going on. They want to kill Him. You're dishonoring me, He says. You dishonor the Father. They would have said, no way, man. We love God and we want to keep His word. Jesus says, no, you dishonor the Son, you dishonor the Father. You honor the Son, you honor the Father. And so look at verse 24. Last verse we'll take a look at. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Once again, truly, truly, what does it mean? Without any possibility of controversy. Without any possibility of doubt. Truly, truly, I say. What does He say? He who hears my word. He who hears my word. All right, listen to what He's saying, everyone. My word is God's word. What I say is what God says. So he who hears my word, he just put his word on the level of all scripture that the Jews had, the Old Testament. He just said, if you hear my word, what I say right now, and believe on him that sent me, you have everlasting life. What Jesus says right here is the word of the living God. Now it makes sense to me. Because Jesus says, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. Now it makes sense why people would want to tell you that you can't trust your Bible. Makes sense, doesn't it? Wouldn't the devil want you to believe that this isn't God's word? That there are errors in it? That you can't trust it? Hey, if you can't trust this, which I call this is our anchor. If you can't trust this, then what can you trust? You go to a meeting, they don't use their Bibles, and they start receiving from the Lord. I just got a word from the Lord that you should marry, what's his name? Oh Lord, he's ugly. Well, that's the word of the Lord. How do you know? You don't, do you? You going to take that guy's word for it? Whew, I'm going to marry somebody. I'm going to be praying about it first. Check their checking account and all that. Aren't you? Aren't you going to start praying about it? How are you going to know? Let's just pretend that you don't believe that this is God's word. Too many errors in it. Too many flaws. Can't trust it. Okay, then let's close it and don't use it. What do we count on? Young man comes along and says, I saw God. Well, I saw Moroni. Well, I saw Jesus and God. Well, it was an ascended personage and I don't know who it was. I'm telling you all his stories. That's every one of those he said. And this is what God told me. You can't trust this. And I go, well, if I can't trust this, I've never heard God say anything. I've never seen him. I'll listen to you. And he started a cult that's still doing amazingly fine today. Where's your anchor? Jesus says, and I'll use the language so that we make sure we get it right. Truly, truly, without any possibility of controversy, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. How do you get everlasting life? You got to give a lot of money to the church. Isn't that what it just said? Did you see money mentioned there? Well, then don't believe it when people tell you. I get so nervous for God. I really worry about God because I listen to people on TV. And the only thing that I can understand is God must be one lousy, stinking bookkeeper. Because every week, you're going to go under. If my $20 bill is going to keep on a multi-million dollar ministry, I'm going to send it in because God has messed up in his bookwork again and the bills are higher than we thought. Are you kidding? You think I believe that for 1 minute? What's it got to do with money? Wait, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has eternal life. What did you do to get eternal life? I believed. That's all. I didn't have to clean up my act. My act is still not cleaned up. Is yours? Do this. No. If God waits to save me until I clean up my act, well, it's been nice knowing you. It's not going to happen. Why? Because the old hymn says it, according to Scripture, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Naturally, leave me on my own, I wander, drift away, get myself in trouble, then complain to him, would you let me do this? Boy, look at me over here, it's your fault. I'm mad at you. I laugh when people tell me, and I hear a lot, I am mad at God. Don't do that. Are you kidding? There is no nuclear glue. He's holding you together, man. Don't do that. Don't. If you explode right in my office, everybody's going to think it was me. You tell me you're mad at God, could you go downstairs and we'll talk over the intercom? No, don't be mad at God. He loves you. He's the one who loves you unconditionally. All you got to do is simply believe. And what will you have? Notice, has, right now, present tense. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has, right now, present tense, everlasting life. Now the picture you get, a lot of Christians have a wrong picture. Okay, when I die someday, they're going to bury me. And as soon as I die, God's going to give me eternal life. No. The day that you simply believe from your heart, God gave you life. You have eternal life if you're born again, right now. It's not something you're going to wait for or it's going to catch up to you or finally get you. You have eternal life. You're born again. You are alive right now. Has everlasting life. How long is everlasting life? Well, it lasts for 6 months. It lasts until you sin big. What does the Bible say? Everlasting. That's not hard to understand. Go back to the original language and translate it literally, and what does it mean? Everlasting. See how easy this is? It never ends. But it's already started in your life. You have been born again if you've just given your heart to Jesus. And shall not come into condemnation. You are not condemned. You've been washed clean. There is no sin. God looks at you as if you've never sinned. The word justified, it means just as if I'd never sinned. He looks at, can you believe? I mean, you got to laugh. He looks at you and says, you are perfect. You go, yeah, you're right. Don't say a thing, man. Just go. He sees you through Jesus Christ as perfect. Oh, your friends don't. But he does. What's so important about that? He's the one that counts. He's the judge. And the judge sees you as perfect, sinless, through his son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for you and for me. Whoa. You have eternal life. There's no condemnation, he says. They will not come into condemnation. Romans 8:1, memorize. Memorize if you got to memorize some scripture, which I think you do. Rememorize this one. There is therefore. When you see therefore, look and see what it's there for. So I'm reading Romans 8:1, meaning something in Romans chapter 7 we're talking about. What does Paul say? He says, I'm a mess. Now, Paul's been in the ministry a long time. He's not a brand new believer. He's been in the ministry a long time. He's born again. He says, I'm a mess. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing those. The things I want to do, I end up not doing that. I am a mess. Oh, wretched man that I am. What's going to save me from the body of this death? The next verse says, there is therefore, because of Jesus Christ. I thank God, Jesus Christ. Now the next verse says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the flesh, not after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. You're completely forgiven in Jesus. I know, Christian, I know sometimes you think, I really want to do what's right. And you end up, you think, all right, I've got to watch my mouth because I say that to them and it makes them upset. And I get mad myself. And Lord, help me. And then you walk right out there and you blurt it right out. And you think, what is wrong with me, Lord? I'm a mess. I thank God through Christ Jesus that it's all right. He's going to change me. He's going to grow me up. He's going to handle this. There's no condemnation. And you're passed, the very last part of the verse, from death to life. Instantly. When will you pass from death to life? Well, as soon as your physical body's ready to die, you get... No, it happened when you were born again. The prodigal son comes home. What does his dad say? This son of mine was dead and is now alive. He was blind, but now he sees. You see, he was lost, but now he's found. I was dead and now I'm alive. Those of you that are born again, you were dead. Dead, and the Bible says, in our trespasses and our sins. But now... I'm alive in him. Have eternal life. How did I get it? As a free gift. And he said, do you want it or not? And I said, yes, sir. I believe. That's all you have to do. Have you? Think about this as we close. Jesus' words are the words of God. Read them. Read your Bible. Here's what he said about himself. This is what we've learned. He is God. He said that. He raises the dead, just like God does, and gives life. And he, number three, will judge. That's what he said about himself. Now, that's God's word. C.S. Lewis, maybe you've heard of him. Amazing thinker, amazing mind. This is what he said about Jesus. C.S. Lewis was a Christian, of course. C.S. Lewis said this about Jesus. Jesus Christ is either a liar and one of the greatest liars of all time because of so many people that listen to him. He's either a liar or he is a lunatic. He is absolutely out of his mind. He's crazy to claim all these things for himself. He's either a liar or a lunatic, or he is actually Lord of all. King of kings and Lord of lords. You need to decide. The miracles, the power and the authority. He died that I might live, that you might live. I wanted him to fight back. I'd read my Bible as a young Christian, and I think, man, I understand you're going to die, but they're treating you. This is wrong to do to anyone. Fight back. They would put a bag over his head and hit him with a baseball bat. And then they would take the bag off and they'd say, okay, who hit you that time? They played a game. Or they'd cover his face and they'd punch him. And then they uncover his face and say, all right, guess now, who hit you that time? And all these soldiers are beating him. And he was beaten to where you could not recognize him. They pulled his beard out. And he never said a word. And it always bugged me that he wouldn't answer back. Until it finally, because I'm slow, dawned on me. He couldn't answer back. I said, yeah, but he wasn't guilty. He didn't do anything. He wasn't there for himself. He was in my place. He took that for me. And he didn't answer back because I deserved all that and more. You see, he took that beating. He took that suffering. He took the cross for me. That's why he kept quiet. That's why he never fought back. Because I was guilty. He died in my place. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. He loves you. Unconditional. He's never going to look at you and say, you're not my best friend anymore. He's forgiven you if you've come to him. And he will forgive you if you will come. All you have to do is say yes. There's no trick or magic prayer or any gimmick. All you have to say is yes. I want you. I'm helpless. Pray about these things. Give your life to him. Trust him. Don't grow bitter over the ugly things that have happened to you. Let God use them that he might strengthen your life, that others can see Jesus. Let's bow our heads.